The following podcast is scheduled for one awesome show and has a time limit of 60 minutes. And here are your hosts.
Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H.
And welcome to Grapple Talk. This is episode number 38, just closing in on episode number 40. We got a vote up on the page every time you see the picture. Make sure you're voting on who you want to hear. Adam Pierce currently in the lead. What's up, guys? My name is Nick Ragnar, joined by Jesse Von Ruden and AC Riley, as we have been doing all summer long. And guys, we are closing in on history. We are closing in on four times 10 episodes of Grapple Talk.
Yeah, right. That's 40, Nick. Nice
yeah.
save.
Yeah. I know. All right. I was going to say four decades, and I was like, that's wrong.
That's a little overselling.
Yeah, it's overselling it, but you know, it sounds good.
Then, now, forever, right?
Yeah,
right.
Then, now, forever, Grapple Talk. That's kind of a cool ring to it, does it not? I feel like it kind of
Maybe
does.
We'll get Thomas to do that when we're doing new promos.
No, we're just ripping off the WWE right now, then, if we do that. So.
Hey, don't say that.
Hey, we should go with blood, urine, and vomit.
Blood, urine, and vomit. Grapple Talk.
No. Wait, then, now, and forever is ripping off, but blood, urine, vomit isn't?
Yeah, you guys never seen the opening video for WWE right now? After they did the montage, it's like, then, now.
No, I know that.
Yeah. But, you know, that's why I was saying, hey, if we're going to rip off something, let's rip off blood, urine, and vomit.
Cause it's more fun, it's
okay.
Funnier.
I see what you're saying.
Because this is kind of a comedy show. We have jokes here. We try to make people laugh and also give them a good time. We're not all about entertainment. Mm-hmm. Anyways, as we do.
We're not all about entertainment and we're making people laugh?
Yeah. Isn't there a difference?
No.
No, not at all.
This past weekend, we were at RCCW's first show. It was a great show, fantastic show, had a lot of fun. But before we talk about that, as we do with every episode, we always preview the upcoming shows for this upcoming weekend. And I'm going to start us off.
Upcoming shows.
I am starting us off with IWA Midwest presenting Southern Warfare. It's on Saturday, August the 23rd, which is also AC Riley's birthday. Happy early birthday to you,
well,
AC Riley.
Thank you.
What are you going to be, like 16 or something like that?
I'll be 24, actually.
Close enough.
Well, that's kind of like 16.
It's going to be at Avanti's Dome, 3401 Griffin Ave in Pekin. Is that Pekin? Pekin?
Pekin.
Pekin.
Well, if you're from Pekin or whatever.
Is it Pecan?
Is it Pecan?
It could be it. Well, if you know, send us messages of how to pronounce it.
Hashtag how to pronounce Pekin. P-E-K-I-N, Illinois. Here's some of the things that are going to be there. It's a full concession stand. That's kind of cool, right?
Uh-huh.
There's going to be beer.
Oh, that's always good.
Beer's always. There's going to be a bar.
I would hope so.
And then for somebody that has public bathroom phobias like I do, there's also going to be clean restrooms.
Huh.
That's pretty cool.
So if you need to use the restroom and you don't like sitting on dirty toilets, it's a place to go.
That's good.
Brandon Espinosa taking on Christian Rose. Periwinkle taking on Randy Ray. Apocalypse taking on Dixieland Destroyer. Some of the matches advertised for IWA Midwest Southern Warfare. All front row tickets are just $15. Otherwise, general admission tickets are $10. Kids ages 6 to 12, it's $5. Kids 5 and under get in for free with a paid adult. So hopefully there aren't kids that are 5 and under wandering around by themselves without an adult as it is.
I'd hope not.
Because that would be bad parenting. Doors open at 6:30. Bell time is at 7, and it's IWA Midwest presents Southern Warfare this Saturday in Pekin?
It's in Illinois.
It's in Illinois.
Well, that's a broad place. It's a state.
It's a whole state.
It's a terrible thing, and it's like 6 hours long, too, if you want to go from like the top to the bottom. Also, on Saturday, we're going to have Supreme Wrestling Entertainment's Hartley Havoc 3. That's Saturday, August 23rd at Wildfire Harley-Davidson at 120 West North Avenue in Villa Park, Illinois. We're going to see the SWE Tag Team Champions, known as Revelation, with Silky Vine taking on Hashtag Glitterbomb. Of course, we're going to see the main event pro wrestling heavyweight champion will be in action as Dayhawk takes on Devlin Kane. I almost wanted to say, just like, not even say Dayhawk, just say he, and then people would actually know who he is. Of course, we're also going to see the UIWA Midwest Heavyweight Champion, Butchie Davis, in action as he takes on Hotshot Scott Williams.
Hot!
Bell time's at 1. Which is an early show.
It's early.
You gotta get up to go. The cool thing is, admission is free.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
That's always kind of nice. And you know what? The other cool thing is that this will be The first time you see the main event Empire in action since they're, you know, since they're joining. This is going to be the first show that they're actually all together. So, you know, that's going to be kind of interesting to see how that works.
And it's the first time that Supreme Wrestling Entertainment is going to be in Illinois. So they really broadened their horizon as
that's
well.
That's too cool. That's two things to look forward to.
It will be 8 days removed from Butchie Davis' title defense with the Lego match.
Which is going to be tough for him, especially against the Hotshot. Hotshot's one of those guys where you might not notice it with him right away, but this guy is more in the all-time greats, and he's going to bring his A game, especially if he knows Butchie Davis is hurt.
Well, especially when Butchie Davis is promoting that he's hurt, because that's basically putting the bullseye on your back.
Why would you promote that you're hurt?
Well, I'm just saying that he was taking pictures of some of the bruises he got from the Legos because he wanted to show people this actually does hurt. So,
but if you're saying he's promoting that he's hurt, it's like
he's kind of promoting it.
It's almost kind of like. You ever see like Lakers and Boston Celtics are in the playoffs and like Paul Pierce went down and he went to the back and then he came back and it was like the cool, he like scored like 13 points and he was like, oh my god, this is the greatest performance ever. Maybe it had something to do with that. He'll beat Hotshot and it's like, this is the greatest performance ever because he's been pubbing that he's been hurt. Although he's probably actually really hurt, but I mean, you know, might as well get a benefit out of actually being kind of injured, right?
Right, I guess so.
well, like having a hot nurse or something? Or
a hot nurse.
Never mind. Please move on.
One of the Butchie Bays. But anyways.
Stop it.
In memory of Harry Giannos is going to be on Sunday, August 24th. Although it's being done with help from POW, it's not necessarily a POW show. It's done in honor of Griko Jiku's Suave's brother, Harry Giannos, who passed away after a distracted driver hit and killed him. He was only 15 years old when he passed, and he's missed every day. So all the proceeds will be going to the charity called PADD, and that's People Against Distracted Driving. That's going to be at the Austin's Fuel Room, 481 Peterson Road in Libertyville, Illinois. One match announced right now. It's the Last Real Man Professional Wrestling, Silas Young, taking on Griko Jiku Suave. Also scheduled to appear will be Joey Cease, the Beer City Bruisers, Tyler Patton, Stacy Shadows, Jimmy Blaze, Vinny Riot, and more. Also, you'll see former WWE superstar Armando Alejandro Estrada. You can do a special meet and greet with him. Tickets are $10 for general, $20 for the VIP sitting with the meet and greet included. The show starts at 3. It's also another afternoon show.
You know, guys, we just highlighted shows in Illinois this whole weekend.
Did we?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know what? The show we're going to be talking about in a little bit with our guest Heavy D is on Minnesota. We're not spotlighting any.
It's in Wisconsin, actually.
What happened?
It's in Red Cliff, Wisconsin.
Oops. That's embarrassing. Well, there you go. Well, there goes what I was going to say. I feel dumb now.
One thing that's important to remember for this weekend is there's a ton of shows. I mean, there's at least 15, 16 shows going on this weekend. A lot of shows. And
I'm
Saturday.
Sure there's more than that.
And I'm sure there's a lot more, but I'm talking about in the Midwest.
The Midwest.
And that's the thing is that a lot of the shows are in Illinois. We just covered 3, but I think there's like 7 total that we're going to be plugging on the Grapple Talk page, facebook.com/TheGrappleTalk, by the way, where you can also be casting the vote for episode 40. As you mentioned in the beginning of the program, is that Adam Pearce is in the lead, but anybody else, it's still anybody's game until we close the votes next week.
I definitely had a dark horse coming in this week, and that's actually Max Pride. He actually got like 20, 25 votes in just a matter of a week. This young guy, man, he's really want to make a name for himself. He wants to be on Grapple Talk. Good luck to him, you know, because I know a lot of people really want to hear Adam Pearce on the show, but I would almost like to pick the brain of a rookie as well. Even if he doesn't win, we get him on the show one of these days.
Well, right? No doubt about it. I mean, it's interesting because before Max Pride put his hat in the votes, Adam Pearce was sitting at like 62%, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then Max Pride votes come in, and then that got knocked down to half.
Right. So, I mean, the cool thing about this voting process and what a lot of people need to understand about this is that, yeah, the winner of this we'll see on episode 40, which is, you know, it's a big deal. It's episode 40. But at the same time, what this voting process is doing is it's giving us ideas of who you want to hear, you know, come on the spotlight in the Squared Circle for future episodes. So, I mean, even if the person you're voting for doesn't necessarily win this time, it lets us know, hey, we got to get this person on because this is who people want to hear. And, I mean, there's like 6 names on that voting poll right now that I didn't even think to have on this show until I saw the polls. And I'm like, hey, we need to get this guy on eventually because obviously people want to hear him. So, I mean, it's a good thing to vote for even if you don't think the guy that you want to get on is going to win. Still put their name in the hat, and we'll get him on as soon as possible. So That's something that I think is pretty cool. What else I thought was pretty cool, we were at RCCW this weekend, guys. And, you know, one thing that really stood out to me, the main event, this is the second time we've seen a main event in which the crowning of the champion was held in a battle royale. So you pretty much had every guy that was at the show fighting to try to win the main championship that was vacated. And, you know what, Jesse, I kind of want to ask you, what are your thoughts on, you know, a main event battle royale to determine the first ever champion? What do you think about that at a wrestling show?
You know, it's a good concept, you know, because what you're going to do right away is you're going to establish the people were on the show through their matches and stuff like that, but the second that main event starts, it's every man for itself. I think one of the things you got to do is just make sure that people understand, hey, we're going to have this match at the end. You always got to keep on plugging your main event. Always keep on plugging that main event. I thought it was actually kind of interesting that Devlin Kane, this is the second time this summer where he's been one of the last two guys right in a battle royal, got eliminated during the main event pro wrestling battle royal for the championship. Dayhawk ended up winning it. But this time around, he ended up winning the match, and it was because he threw his best friend for 15, 20 years, David Bonner, over the top rope with a suplex. I mean, right, that was really sick.
That was really sick. You know, and I think one thing that's kind of different about this concept is that, you know, not necessarily everybody walks out with the same percentage of chance to win, because a guy like Devlin Kane most likely will take out a guy like, what was his name, Max Marshall or whatever, who was that kid?
I think it was Max Mathers?
Mathers or something like
that? Yeah, it was something like that.
Whatever. Anyways, going in, you don't necessarily always have the same percentages, but at the same time, guys that are lesser known have a chance at winning that belt, you know, and AC Riley, you know, talking to you, I mean, I believe you won a battle royale back at Sparta at Butterfest 17 years ago when you were just a baby.
Yeah,
or
something like that. Yeah.
But you won one once, so I got to know, what's your opinion on ending the show with a battle royale, especially for a title?
I think it's interesting because it's literally one of those matches where anything can happen.
Right.
Like you said, is that there's percentages and, you know, you can do kind of wagers like, oh, I bet this guy right there in the corner right there, yeah, he's going to win. And then he loses and you're like, well, you know, it's just like the Royal Rumble. Like when the pay-per-view happens, everybody's doing those pools of who they think is their guy. And then they get eliminated and like, never mind, I guess I just lost the pool for that. Because it's not so much a one-on-one match where one guy can focus on another guy or with a manager ringside or something like that. It's literally you versus 20, 25, 30 other people. And anything can happen. I mean, even a guy like you're saying, like Max Mathers or whatever his name was, I mean, if he would have been smart and just kind of hung out while everybody was throwing each other out, he could have been the first ever champion because he was just biding his time and looking for – I'm just saying, anything is possible. So, I mean, it's great to see Devlin Kane as the first ever RCCW champion because he's also EPW North American champion.
Yep.
He has a run for the MEPW title, and he's one of those guys that deserves a lot of credibility, even though he doesn't get a whole lot. So, yeah, I'm happy for him.
He's having a great summer so far. But, you know, Jesse, you kind of pointed up the fact that I thought, you know, I never realized before how you kind of showcase the talent that you've been using the entire show, especially for the main event. That's really, you know, cool. But a lot of people, you know, the traditional way to get rid of a vacant title is to either have a tournament or to maybe, you know, put together the two best guys on the roster, have them go at it, whoever wins walks out with the champ. I got to know, is a battle royale a better formula to have than maybe two guys that are extremely – would have been better than just to have Devlin Kane taking on Bonner in the first place?
No. Because, like, if you're establishing your champion, right, you have to make sure that you got all your ducks in a row. Because, like, I mean, half the time, though, if you want to do, like, top two contenders to a brand new company – how are they going to know they're the top two contenders? You can just say, hey, wrestler A and wrestler B are the best two wrestlers in the company. Let's put them together and have the winner actually be the new champ.
Did they say it like that, too?
You kind of did, but it was more like beep, beep, bop, bop.
Bop, bop.
But it gives that idea to showcase the talent and stuff like that. And in that way, too, it's like he can even continue the storylines he had earlier in the night, which we actually saw in that battle royal because Jack Spade and AC Riley were still going at it. Chief Atakula Kula and Steve Starm were still going at it. You already had the seed of dissent between David Bonner and Devlin Kane going at it, and you had the teamwork of the grind in that match. So you got to see basically the match basically be, I would have to say, the cliff notes of the whole show. You got to see everything again, and it got refreshed in your memory. So it was one of those things where it's like a good capstone to the night. And to see that, you know, of course, Devlin Kane actually win the match and stuff like that, and the man's having an amazing role this year. He might be the wrestler of the year.
Right, yeah. I mean, he's having an amazing year so far. And speaking of amazing, we have an amazing guest coming on. Heavy D is coming on to talk about Heavy on Wrestling's legendary. And we're just going to pick his brain a little bit. One of the best promoters in the business today. You're not going to want to miss it. But, you know what? Speaking of Devlin Kane, why don't we just lead off with his theme music today? I mean, why not? We're going to celebrate the guy for having a great year. We'll lead off with Devlin Kane's theme music. And we'll be right back with this week's Spot in the Square Circle. We're talking to Heavy D right after this.
Talk about your Psalms. Talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says...
Stop watching your neighbors get undressed. You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Come on, that's not necessary.
All he's got to do is...
Download the latest Grapple Talk podcast on iTunes. Just type Grapple Talk into the search bar. It's not rocket science.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
A new day has dawned for Milwaukee's own Mondo Lucha at the Turner Hall Ballroom. For only $20, you can take home the high-flying pro wrestling of Mondo Lucha for the very first time. It's the Mondo Lucha's World of Wrestling, Volume 1. It's jam-packed full of great wrestling action, including Shockwave the Robot taking on Darren Corbin, Colt Cabana taking on El Chivas Blanco, and in tag team competition, the team of Eric Cannon and Dysfunction take on the team of Zach Gowen and Matt Nix. Why wait any longer? For $20, you can take home this great DVD of wrestling action by going to their website, MondoLucha.com. It's Mondo Lucha's World of Wrestling, Volume 1.
It's a spotlight in the squared circle.
We are sitting down with a very awesome promoter. We're sitting down with the promoter of Heavy on Wrestling, Heavy D, David Sabick. And how are you doing today, my friend?
I am so good. I'm almost you.
You're
but not
me.
Quite that good. I'm almost you. I'm doing that damn good.
Well, it's great to hear. And Heavy, for the people that don't know who Heavy D is, that maybe have not seen your product, give us a little insight of who Heavy D is and what Heavy on Wrestling is all about.
Well, you know, obviously Heavy on Wrestling was kind of a spinoff from Heavy D. It was funny how Heavy on Wrestling came about. My original plan was to just promote one show. That was all I had planned on doing, and I had searched a long time for a venue in the Duluth area, and, you know, going from building to building, trying to find the right price, I didn't want to drop $10,000 on the deck, you know, this is independent wrestling, so let's get real. you know, our first option, or our first idea was, okay, there's a small building in downtown Duluth called The Encounter, and it probably holds 300 people, maybe 350, and I had visited an independent show there that was, promoted by Wild Bill Irwin, probably, I'd say 2001, somewhere around there, 2000 maybe. I mean, it was pretty fun, so I thought, well, I'm going to try and run there. Well, they were no longer set up for events like wrestling, so I had to can that idea. And I ended up finding the Westman Arena in Superior, which is right on the UWS campus there. It's a big hockey arena that they play all their games in. So we ran Heavy on Wrestling, our first show. We had Baron Von Raschke, Christy Hemme, and Molly Holly. That was our first show. We drew 500 people. We had some nice sponsors lined up, and I thought, all right, well, that was fun. And it was kind of like a potato chip. You just can't have one, you know?
That's true.
And so then we started booking more and more and more, and all of a sudden Rikishi and Jake the Snake, and then it escalated up to guys like Terry Funk and Mick Foley, and then a few years later we had guys like Ric Flair. I mean, come on, it's ridiculous. And all leading up to Legendary on August 23rd, which is in Red Cliff, Wisconsin, which isn't ungodly far away from you guys.
Well, it's close. You know, I'm not going to lie. It's kind of close to ungodly. It's like, I think it's like 6 hours from La Crosse, give or take.
But let's talk about the guys that are coming down. It's almost ungodly to think about these guys, you know, all being in the ring at the same time. I mean, you got Booker T's coming down, Roddy Piper, Jake the Snake, Scott Steiner, Rick Steiner, Hardcore Holly. The list goes on and on. X-Pac's going to be there, one of your favorites of all time, Jesse. I know that. Steve Richards is going to be there. I could just keep going on and on, but Heavy, I mean, this is an amazing, you know, lineup you got set up, and I mean, I got to know, where did you start getting all these where did all this, you know, come about where you can put together shows like this?
Well, it started out with a decent sponsorship base. You know, Miller Lite has been really good to us. Toyota has been good to us. Mountain Dew just jumped on, and without that corporate-level sponsorship, you can't do a whole heck of a lot. This event, this August 23rd, is sponsored by Legendary Waters Resort Casino and it will be held in the Doozy Doo Arena. It will be an outdoor arena built thanks to Mountain Dew. We will have pay-per-view quality, light and sound, and staging, and it's going to be a big night. And so to answer your question, it all comes from big sponsors. It comes from big investors. And, you know, obviously I would not be able to empty my piggy bank and pay for something like this by myself. We're very fortunate to have what we have and be able to do what we've done in the past. And I think we're going to rock it as hard as we ever have this Saturday.
Definitely. It's going to be one of those shows where if you get an opportunity, you have to go. Because, like, you don't see that a lot on the professional, like, especially in the indie scene, where guys will take that extra leap of faith and make sure they get quality sponsors, get that quality money, and give a show that the fans could be like, my God, I mean, this is indie wrestling. This is better than what I saw in WWE, you know? So, Heavy, one of the big things is how did you get connected with indie wrestling in the first place? What was your first exposure to that?
You know, the first exposure at the time, Mom was married to who would have been my stepdad at the time, and he had owned a bar, and he had sponsored a local independent show. I remember the poster, he brought home a poster that the promoter had given him, and I looked at it. I had no idea who most of the guys were. I was, you know, looking very old at the time. So he ended up getting tickets for sponsoring it, and I went to the show. And, you know, it was obviously nobody I had recognized from television, but it was a lot of fun. And, you know, it was a lot of local kids, and I say kids, but younger guys who now worked for me. I remember Dan Jesser being on the card, and I remember Mitch Paradise and Horace Psychopath. These are all guys who are now working for me in some way, shape, or form, and it's pretty neat to have an introduction to wrestling like that. Just kind of, I mean, I had obviously watched on TV for years prior to that, but that was my first brush with independent wrestling.
You know, Heavy, one thing that I took away from the first time I got to see a Heavy on Wrestling show, and I believe it was at that Gulf Dome where you had Christy Hemme, Rikishi there. It was one of the first shows I had seen in my really young career as an independent wrestler that was just a giant show, and not only was it a giant venue, but it was full, to my knowledge, shoulder to shoulder, which is mind-blowing. And one thing I remember talking to you about a couple months back was that you're in a position now where you really only need to come in and kind of do some of the day-of operations. You kind of have a staff, if I'm not mistaken, for a lot of your promoting. And I, again, I'm blown away by that because we really don't see that a whole lot with a lot of indie promoters. A lot of it, they're doing all the work. So I got to ask, how did you get the position that you have a staff that to get all the promoting done?
Well, you know, it's creating first a friendship almost with a few people, and I keep my inner circle very small. You know, I just was fortunate enough to find a few quality guys, and they were all hard workers, and they all wanted to be a part of this and make it and create it to an even larger extent that we already have. And you know, I treat people right, and I treat people well, and in return, they generally do the same for me. And honesty has been a big factor with people. And I created a really, really strong bond with my inner circle, and they're always there for me. For as big as these events have become, I almost have to have a staff because we have the web part of it, the multimedia part of it, and we have the transportation part of it. We have the ring crew. We have the merchandise department. I mean, it's on and on and on. You have to have somebody stationed in every aspect for things to be done correctly. Not to knock anybody, but you go to some of the smaller shows and they have the promoter going home and doing the self-print t-shirts in his living room the night before the show. You know, he's loading up a U-Haul with the ring himself or with his brother's help, and that's fine, doing all that yourself, but you have to have help or you're going to go crazy. I've already gone crazy in this business more than once, and it's been a long road, but we've come a long way, and I'm very happy.
Speaking of coming a long way and, you know, just things that you need to be successful, we kind of already touched on it, the sponsorship aspect. I mean, on this show, you know, us three have talked about it time and time again. You know, if you want to have a successful show, you need to get that base, you need to get sponsorships. It's as much as you don't want to admit it, as much as you might love wrestling, you do need that money aspect to get things
things going heavy. Can you kind of tell us just how important those sponsors really are, and you know how maybe you what your plan is, and how you really get the name of Heavy on Wrestling out there? Because promoting is the most important part of being a promoter, set aside from putting together the show.
Yeah, definitely. If you're going to go in it to win it, so to speak, you shouldn't even start without a sponsor. You know, they've been our lifeline. They are the reason why we are who we are. And, you know, when I go into a sponsor, when I go into a sponsorship meeting, the first thing you have to remember is that they need a reason why to write you a check. If you go in and you have crappy jeans on and an old ratty WWF pay-per-view t-shirt and a backwards hat, and this dazed look in your face and say, yeah, I'm going to run this wrestling show at a VFW that holds 150 people and whatnot. And okay, you have a plan. This is your venue. But you have to explain to that sponsor why it's a good idea for them to write you a check. When I walk into a sponsorship, I'm very well dressed. I have a great game plan. I have a great speech on why Heavy on Wrestling is the product to invest in. And that's one of my keys to obtaining sponsorship. And really, I shouldn't be discussing anything brand new for anyone. And unfortunately, I probably am for some people. And it's just, it's more or less, to me, common sense. And I'm not knocking anybody and not doing anything. It's just you've got to use common sense.
Yeah, there's
any small business owner is going to go, even if somebody's going out and trying to get a race car sponsored or something, and they go into local businesses, liquor stores, local grocery stores, and gas stations, and say, hey, do you want to sponsor my race car? Okay, kid, well, where are you racing? Well, I'm racing in my brother's backyard. I'm dead. Or I'm going to be at the local race. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to knock the small shows and the small guys, because I love the wrestling. I love attending independent wrestling, whether it's 50 people there or 1,000. But when you go in to get a big-time sponsor, you got to have a reputable venue, you have to have reputable talent, and you have to have a reason why your product is the product to write a check for.
Well, there's an old adage, act like you've been there before, and it seems to me that's basically the knowledge and the common sense that a lot of people are kind of missing on the scene. But looking over this card, one of the matches that really stands out right away is Hardcore Rules. It's Luke Hawk taking on Hardcore Holly. Now, if anyone's been following independent pro wrestling, they know how bitter this feud has been. How did you end up coming up with the concept of making sure these two guys are actually on your show coming up here this weekend?
You know, I know Luke and I know Bob. They're both buddies of mine. They don't get along. You know, it comes down to professionalism as far as their job goes. Yeah, they don't like each other. Yeah, there's a lot of heat there. But at the end of the day, they're going to show up. They're going to show respect to the promotion, to the fans, and the business that they're in, and I appreciate that, and I hope the fans appreciate it too, because it's going to be an amazing match. Now, these guys have wrestled each other before for me, and I mean, the crowd is coming up to us afterwards asking, please book that again, please book that again. Well, we did, and now it's on an even bigger stage and even bigger rules, and I can't tell you how excited I am from a fan's perspective. This is going to be one of my favorite matches, most likely in the next couple of years. Oh. I can honestly say that.
Well, Heavy, there's a ton of matches on top of that Hardcore Rules match. We're also going to see Piper's Pit with Rowdy Piper.
That'd be cool.
Booker T has a few announcements for Heavy on Wrestling. A ton of matches, like we mentioned, ton of talent. One of the things that we also were plugging on Grapple Talk was the upcoming tag team seminar that will be at the show. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's going to be headlined by former WWE tag team champion Trevor Murdoch and, of course, Miss Natural Heather Patera. That's going to be an amazing opportunity. And I think any of the young guys who have been in it for even 5-6 years or less should go. You know, it's $25. And when I got into the business, a $25 seminar like this, even with 10 years experience in, if you've never been on television, I'd say go and spend $25 and see this, because this is something that is not readily available for all of the talent all the time. It's like a dream come true, really, for wrestlers and for fans as far as the rest of the event goes. But there's something here for everyone. There's something here for the fans. There's something here for autograph seekers. There's something here for pure wrestling fanatics. And there's something here for people with wrestling experience. The whole day is filled with an amazing list of different things going on. going on. Plus, he hit Piper's pit. I mean, come on. And, you know, and I can tell you, because Roddy Piper did announce it on KQ95 out here based in Duluth, Jake the Snake Roberts will be a guest on Piper's pit.
Wow. That'll be interesting.
And that's going to be off the wall. Are you kidding me?
Well, definitely going to be off the wall. I mean, definitely every base is covered, not only from a fan's perspective to really want to attend the show, but also any young talent or even old talent that really can't not afford to miss out on the seminar. I mean, Jesse, you went to that seminar with Steve Corino a couple months back, and that was roughly around the same price. And it sounds like you learned quite a bit from just one guy. Imagine, you know, Heather Patera and Trevor Murdoch in this tag team seminar. You don't really see a lot of those either.
No, is Trevor Murdoch actually going to give out singing lessons too? Because that was one of my favorite segments of all time on Raw.
I kind
of
hope
actually,
he does.
Yeah, actually did that Garth Brooks song. I love that. That was one of my favorite segments of all time. But beyond that, and one of the things that we've seen a lot more independent wrestling companies do now is actually offer the pay-per-view service. Is it something that Heavy on Wrestling is going to be doing further down the line?
Yes, in fact, we... We'll have more information about that most likely at the end of the year. This particular event, due to contracts, Booker T is actually still with World Wrestling Entertainment. We have to be careful what we air live on live stream, because then you start stepping on the WWE's toes and, you know, the legal issues involved. So we elected not to go with this event on live stream. But down the line, yes, you will see more of that from us. You'll see a lot more innovative ideas. You're going to see a lot more innovative events, different types of events, different locations. We were at a tattoo convention last year, so things like that. You know, you're going to see us kind of breaking away from the same old mold, so to speak. And we're gonna be trying some new things and some fun things. And I've been negotiating a show on a boat, on a ship, you know, and then people buy a ticket and they get to go on a cruise on Lake Superior featuring a live wrestling match.
Wait, wow. So kind of like the old WCW Bruise cruise?
Yeah, something like that. you know, that's just in the very early stages, obviously. But these are things that we're looking into. And you want to keep things fresh, you know? There's a lot of groups that run the same thing. They run the same talent, the same matches in the same building, and that's their thing, and that's awesome. But Heavy on Wrestling kind of is a little bit different. It's something different. We break away from the normal mode. And so that's where we're at. You know, we're just trying to change it up a bit, do new things, do fun things, big things, and that's what we'll continue to do. And I look forward to seeing what we come up with years down the road.
Speaking of what you guys might come up with, Heavy, what's the best place, you know, your fans, other people can go to, you know, see the latest on Heavy on Wrestling?
HeavyOnWrestling.com is the perfect place to find out all that information. We're also on Facebook. We have a link for tickets if you'd like to purchase tickets for Legendary this Saturday. Those are right through HeavyOnWrestling.com, or head on over to LegendaryWaters.com. Check out the casino's amenities, and it's a beautiful, beautiful casino. Right on the water. It's just as gorgeous. They have boat rides. They have they have slot machines, and I don't know if you know a whole lot about the legends and the slot machines after they've had a few drinks, but they're known to spend a couple dollars.
a ton of dollars, possibly. But
well, anyways, Heavy, you know, just a few days away from the Legendary show, so I appreciate that you took the time out of your busy schedule to come chat with us. So with that, thank you for being on the Spotlight Squared Circle, and the best of luck to you this Saturday at Redcliffe.
Thank you so much, guys. Anytime you want. You know, I do a special up late with Heavy feature once in a while that I allow people to do with me once in a blue moon, and I have a couple drinks and I tell road stories from past events. I'd be happy to do that type of show with you down the line. I do have to have about 5-6 whiskeys in me, because some of these stories are confidential, but I start to care a little less after I've had a few. So.
Well, that's usually how it goes when you're drinking. But if you're heading on down to Redcliffe and you see Heavy and you want to buy him a drink for putting on such a good product, looks like whiskey is the drink of choice.
Hey, whiskey will make you my best friend.
well said right here with Heavy D. That's it for the Spotlight and Squared Circle. We'll be right back with Wrestler's Perspective right after this.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Everybody loves Nathan Gust.
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
It sounds stupid coming out of my mouth.
Milwaukee, a home to legends for centuries. Idols, kings, virtuosos, laughter, happiness. This fall, one of Milwaukee's legends will rise to walk in the sun again. That legend is Mondo Lucha.
Well, guys, that was a great interview there with Heavy D. Definitely very informative. If you get an opportunity to actually make that show this weekend, please do.
One thing that I'm really enjoying from our spotlight, I mean, we had Winchester on last week. Mm-hmm. We had Heavy D on this week. And something that's, I think, kind of, you know, we get to know these guys, you know, through our earlier episodes, you know, one through whatever now. And what we learned last week with Winchester and what we really learned, you know, today with Heavy D is that we're almost starting, instead of just, like, learning where these guys came from and learning, you know, what their motive is in wrestling, we're kind of learning, you know, how guys can really, you know, get up and running. Like, Heavy D just kind of, you know, if there's a younger promoter that wants to start promoting in wrestling, I mean, you got some really good tips right there. Last week with Winchester, it was all about if you're a young up-and-coming guy, you just learned a bunch of stuff that you can start using and utilizing, and I think that's what's really cool about this show is not only are we helping promote these guys and learning more about them, but now we're also starting to help give tips on how to, you know, come up in the business, and I think that's something really cool because I'm learning a lot of stuff too.
Definitely. It's an educational tool, and if you want to use it, make sure you do.
Right, exactly. But, you know, this, and it's time for Spotlight Squirts, or it's not time for that.
It's time for Wrestler's Perspective.
And, Jesse, what's our question for AC this week?
This question, AC Riley, you've actually gone most of your career without a major injury, but what would happen if AC Riley came down with a major injury?
This past week, we saw a Legos match, right? And it's just brutal. But what would have happened, I mean, if Kid Riot would have landed on his arm wrong and broke his arm, but he continued on with the match, it would have been, you know, death-defying. But I got to know AC Riley. You're talking about injuries. How far is too far when you're in a match? Like, when do you stop the match?
Well, I think we've seen a lot of it. For example, when we talked to Mikey Wild, and he didn't realize that his collarbone was broken, and people were screaming in terror because his body wasn't looking the way it was supposed to look normally.
But his body's never looking the way it's supposed to look normally.
Well, basically, it was indented. It was part of his arm was bending the wrong way or whatever it was. You know, bottom line, you could tell too far is pushing yourself way too far than you need to. I mean, like, perfect example is when I busted my head open that March 1st show is that I wanted to keep wrestling despite the fact that I was bleeding open and bleeding everywhere. And I was kind of told to be put and go back into the locker room because that was kind of pushing it, you know, because at one point I hit some move and I couldn't see. And even though I was trying to wipe the blood out of my face, it was one of the things that I didn't really need to keep going. You know, it was admirable. I wanted to keep going, but I didn't need to.
Here's something I need to ask you. We talk about it time and time again. We had an episode where we, like, strictly talked about it, just having, you know, these shoot jobs, having, you know, you work at a TV station and a radio station, and, you know, how do those injuries work with, I mean, because you're not a guy, you're not on WWE, you're not on TNA. If you get busted open, you're not going to go back to this, you know, professionally trained staff and then get back on your horse and start doing the same stuff you were just doing. I mean, you got to come back to lacrosse and go on with your life as if nothing ever happened during the weekend. So, I mean, are you ever worried that these injuries could do something to, you know, kind of derail your normal life outside of wrestling?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because, like, I mean, you look at some of the stuff, like, with broadcasting, you know, like, for example, working the floor crew. If I have a broken leg, I'm not really going to be as mobile as I need to be, you know, moving cameras around or anything like that. It's really hard to move a camera with one hand and walk with a crutch on another. And that's one of the downsides of that, is that if something serious were to happen to me, you know, that would really cut into, you know, my major funds, is that, you know, because, you know, I have a shoot job. I have two shoot jobs where that's where I make all my money. You know, a lot of the times on weekends, it's not exactly I'm getting paid like $4,000 a show or anything like that. I mean,
God, if you actually got paid $4,000 a show, I would blow my brains out.
I would blow my penis out. My penis would be blown.
That's really extreme.
Yeah.
Blow your brains out is pretty extreme, but he wasn't like that. I mean, you'd blow your penis off? What?
I would try to date you is what I'm trying to say. I would do my best, because if you're making $4,000 a show, you are doing pretty well for yourself. I'll tell you that much.
I like how you went from blow penis out to try to date me. But anyways, that's neither here nor there.
I thought I made a great connection.
Well, we'll talk about that after the show.
You guys always make a great connection.
Wow. You did the T two tips of the dicks thing doing,
yeah,
doing
yeah.
that right now?
Yeah,
anyways,
I'm doing that right now.
I mean,
my dick is not that big, so joke's on you.
Well, anyways, I mean, that is the thing, though, is if I were to receive a big injury like that, then that would definitely throw things off the normal grind. Because even Mikey Wall was saying that, is that, you know, with him being injured, he wasn't able to do his, you know, shoot job, which was going to be cutting into his funds. And, you know, that obviously make things a little bit more tighter on the finances, tighter on the wallet. So, yeah, fingers crossed, knock on wood as soon as I find some.
This table's made out of wood.
There you go.
All right, knock on wood that, nothing serious happens to me yet.
So do you have health insurance?
I do, actually.
Now, is it through you or through your dad?
Through my dad. So but I'm covered I think, like 2 more years.
Okay, so after 2 years, are you going to get health insurance?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah?
Because a perfect example was when I got those staples and everything like that. I mean, I was very fortunate to still be on my dad's health plan because just the ambulance bill was ridiculous. I mean, that was like $700 for an ambulance ride that I kind of feel like I didn't really need. But, I mean, I'm not a doctor, so I didn't really know at the time.
If you were a doctor, you would have health insurance.
Here's the thing, though.
What if you were a doctor without health insurance?
I don't know.
I love living on the edge, man.
Living on the edge, man.
Oh.
That'd be like a construction
worker. I just
got
to have C from this patient, man.
The thing is that, like, my medical bill was, like, somewhere like $800, $900. And because of my health insurance, I'm only paying them, like, $200. So that's great to have, because instead of not having it where it's like, oh yeah, you need to pay all this like right now.
As much as I want to listen to health insurance Barack Obama and how much you're publicizing it, I want to continue on with our wrestler's perspective. No, but so I gotta know, I mean, when you're not even just getting injured, but you know, little things like, what about getting hit in the face with a chair, maybe opening up gashes on your face? I mean, your face, let's be honest, in broadcasting is your moneymaker, regardless if you're on the radio or not. So what about things like that, like just damage to your appearance and other things like that? Is that something else you're maybe worried about? Because obviously, you know, wrestling, if you have a passion for it, you're going to do whatever you need to do to make in the biz. And, you know, but I got to know, just when it comes to things like that, and where do you draw the line as far as what you do in the ring?
You know, that's a good question.
Do you think about things like that?
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Most of the time I really don't. But, I mean, it's all about your limits. I mean, you know, if you're a hardcore wrestler, then you want to focus on hardcore. If you want to focus on something else, that's what you focus on. I don't really consider myself a hardcore wrestler. That's why most of the times you don't see me wrestling in any hardcore matches, and most of the time why you don't even see me really using many weapons. It's not really my style, so I kind of stay away from it. It's one of my limitations. No, I'm not scared. I mean, I've taken that stuff before. It's just that it's one of those things for me, I consider it a limitation, so I'm not going to do something that I may not be as strong at compared to somebody else as you hit me with stuff.
Sorry.
No, this is usually how it goes. So you're saying that you're very cautious?
I try to be. I mean, you know, one of the things, again, knock on wood, I haven't broken a bone yet, but a lot of it is I just try to be very cautious with that because, I mean, you never know what kind of high-risk management that could go wrong, and you could be staring at an L-shaped leg that wasn't supposed to bend that way.
Well, it's not even like that. It's like, yeah, we see it a lot of times, especially in high school sports, since both Nick and myself actually cover a lot of high school sports. You
right.
see kids blowing out their ACLs all the time.
Right.
It's one of those things, like, it's not one of those things where you can just keep on pushing it. Like, injuries, they're going to occur.
Right.
And it's very much,
and you don't need,
what are you going
to
do?
You don't need a guy to slam a chair onto your leg to break it. I mean, it could happen. You could be getting in the ring and be like, whoops, tripped.
And that's a scary thing about how accurate that is. I mean, even with broadcasting, as you mentioned, we were talking about high school sports and the recent test, UW-Madison, with concussions. And that's a very real reality for a professional wrestler, is that we've talked to guys that have had concussions left and right. You know, Steve Stardom wrestled a match with a concussion and then didn't really realize it until he went to the hospital. And that's scary to think that you can still go on autopilot like that and it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, that is really scary to think about. You know, and that's something that everybody, you know, kind of needs to learn about, you know, indie wrestling, is that it's another dimension of indie wrestling where these guys have other, you know, things going on outside of wrestling. And, you're risking their lives and risking, you know, their livelihood every Saturday, Friday, Sunday in the ring. And that's something to, I guess, really give kudos to.
And that's case in point why it's so important to get trained, is that, you know how to take stuff safely compared to just trying to imitate something that you saw on TV and not really knowing how to do it. Because if you know, in any situation, if you don't really know how to do it, you're probably going to do it very unsafely.
Basically, bottom line, just get health insurance. If you don't have health insurance and you're a worker right now, tell you the truth, I would not book you. Make sure you have health insurance. This week on Tape Study, guys, this one's a classic. We're going to go back to
Tape Study.
Yes, February 11th, 1983, St. Louis, Missouri. It's Bruiser Brody taking on the NWA heavyweight champion at the time, Ric Flair. Now, you guys, you know about Ric Flair. You know a little bit about Bruiser Brody.
Yeah.
This is a clash of styles. But the cool thing about this, Brody can go. Because when you usually think about him, you always think of the brawling style and stuff like that. He has a mat wrestling classic with Ric Flair in this one. It goes about 55 minutes. You're going to thoroughly enjoy it. And plus, it's got Japanese announcers.
Nice. That's the best. That's always the best.
For showing
the emotions.
Ric Flair. That's very
this
racist.
Ball
it
is
coming from the guy who's
like
best, whose favorite wrestler, Alberto Del Rio, got fired for slapping a dude because a dude made a racist joke. That was very racist of you.
You mad at me?
The Japanese
you mad
hater,
at Del Rio?
Nick Wagner.
You mad that you kicked me out of wrestling?
Well, he's
I now wrestle Rey Mysterio at AAA wrestling now.
That's what he's doing now. So
yes, and he's still doing the.
He's doing this.
Well, anyhow, folks. Next week we're gonna have a great guest, and that's Julian Bradley. If you follow politics, you know this man has got an opportunity of a lifetime to be the new Secretary of State here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, did he win his primaries then, or what?
Yeah, he did.
He did. Yeah, yeah. There you go. That's awesome. So I mean, he'll be coming in. He'll be he's hotter than. The Human Torch, comic book reference. I'm a geek, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, well, welcome to the club.
Yeah, I'm a geek. I don't know. It's cool. I mean, I like video games and stuff. I don't know. I'm doing my best to be hipster right now. I'm being hipster. Why is there no hipster gimmicks in wrestling?
There's so many.
I'm sure there is.
Is there really?
Yeah. Anyone that uses a mustache as a gimmick, that's a hipster gimmick.
You calling a porn stash right now?
Yeah.
You calling a porn stash?
Yeah.
I want to see it. Book it, SWE Championship.
Oh,
Jesse Von Rudin versus porn stash for the title. I want to see it. It'd be a great match.
I'm not trained.
I don't know. Yeah.
Do you have health insurance?
Yeah.
Oh,
I have health
full
insurance.
Circle. That's funny.
There you go. That's all you need, apparently.
That's all you need. Well,
you said it.
Tape Study will be posted, I believe, on the social networking sites.
Yeah, always.
Right? Always. So yeah. The Grapple Talk on Twitter and also Facebook.com/TheGrappleTalk. Yeah. Ace Riley, closing comments.
I actually have a couple shout-outs.
Damn.
Well, first off, shout-out to JP because he went to the burn ward on Friday after going through a flaming table, yet he still went to have a wrestling match on Sunday when he should have just been taken off. He said he described himself in an adjective I don't agree with. I'm just going to say he's enthusiastic.
Okay.
another one is the Melanie Cruz, who is heading off to Japan on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's going to be gone for 3 months. We're going to talk to her when she comes back. She was booked solid. You know, casual stuff with the international flights. There's a lot of planning to go into
right.
it. And right now she's trying to figure out how to put 100 bags of shit into a 50-pound bag.
But that's what you expect, I guess. From
and
last, 100 pounds of shit into a 50-pound bag.
Right.
You just had 100 bags to a 50-pound bag.
Maybe she's doing that. She said 100 pounds of shit, so it could be 100 pounds of bags. You never know. But anyways, last but not least, to Christopher Huffman of Spot Monkey Media, who not only is making a new logo for us, but he kind of had the same upbringings with Spot Monkey Media that we did. You know, he followed a dream that he wanted to do. He got a lot of positive feedback from the market that he appealed to, and now he's doing really great with it. So shout out to him because we're kindred spirits in that sense.
Right. And I don't mean to date our episode or anything because by tomorrow it could change, but I mean, we are only 2 likes away from 400, guys. I mean, I know that, and I know that's just the stupidest thing to talk about because, you know, it's like, oh, Facebook likes, but honestly, it shows the support that everybody's given us. I mean, it seems like there's always at least one day out of the week where also my phone's just blowing up. This guy like Grapple Talk. This woman like Grapple Talk. This trash can like Grapple Talk.
This
it's
trash
like,
can.
Oh, even inanimate objects are liking us now. This is awesome. We're doing great for ourselves. We must be. But no, I mean, it's showing just the support is out the window with us, and we're really appreciative of it. And obviously, you know, if there's ever anything that you think we need to do, anybody you want to have on, anything that you want us, you know, a new segment, any ideas you have, we're always open to anything. So, I mean, you always want to check us out on our social networking sites, try to get a hold of us there. And, yeah, we're pretty open to everything, and we just want to say thanks for all the support. So, yeah, it's been a great couple of summer months. We're actually entering the fall season, so should be interesting. And AC Riley, closing comments number 2.
Just keep voting for episode 40. I mean, you can vote once a day, as many times until we close it. And, yeah, keep those votes up.
Jesse, take us out.
Oh, goodbye, guys.
Well, guys, this upcoming week we are going to be sitting down with not only a great mind in the business, but also a great mind out of the business, a guy striving to be the new Secretary of State. We're talking to Julian Bradley on the next episode of Grapple Talk.
Wrestler turned promoter turned politician. Should be a great time to talk with him.
Hey, and of course, election season is coming up, but don't forget to put in your votes for who you want in episode 40.
Nice.
Come on, you guys are always surprised I always come up with this. Come
so nice.
On. I mean, come on.
That's gorgeous.
You still got another week to vote. Who's going to be in the lead this week? We don't know yet.
We don't know until you cast your votes in. And as I said on, you know, this previous episode, make sure you vote. Even if they're not going to win, you're just giving us ideas of who we're going to get on after episode number 40.
It's the right as America to exercise your right to vote.
People power.
Thanks for joining Grapple Talk.
I believe that was actually the only miss of the entire year. I don't think you ever missed one.
I don't know about that.
I don't think you ever did. Jesse, you missed the first, like, 27.
Well, you guys didn't invite me to be
keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
You know, maybe we'll take TNA Spawn Spike TV. I don't know. But, our content's more fresh than theirs, is, to be honest with yourself, Jesse.
It's a little cleaner, too.
You know what? I'm probably pissing off people that like TNA, so I'm going to stop saying that right now.
Thanks for joining Grapple Talk all summer long.